We all have stories of loss, suffering, pain, and waiting. But there are also many stories of the goodness and kindness of God, stories of courage, stories of hope. Restoring Hope is about being reminded that we are not alone and that there is freedom on the other side of our waiting. Psalm 130 verse 7, Israel, put your hope in the Lord, for with the Lord is unfailing love, and with him is full redemption. I'm your host, Charlene Saker. Let's go on this journey together. Good morning, everybody. You're listening to Impact 103. And so if you have been tuning in on a Monday and Tuesday over the last few weeks, you'll know we've been talking about suffering and how to suffer with hope. Now, all of us have gone through stuff and are going through stuff, and some people worse than others. And really, I think the big thing that I'm realizing as we've discussed this is that there is hope, and we can't always understand why things happen, but what we do know is that God is unchanging and that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And tomorrow we're going to talk a bit about the mystery of God, but today I want to kind of wrap up this topic and just highlight some of the most important things that were said. And so if you have any questions around suffering, any comments around suffering, why don't you send it through to the WhatsApp line, 071-364-0376. Maybe God has taught you something through your suffering. So stick around. I'm going to be chatting next about the prosperity gospel and how that has really shaped our theology over the last, let's say, 100 years around suffering and the reason for suffering. So, but if you have anything to add, why don't you send us a WhatsApp? That's Unashamed by 3C Live. And so I want to kind of do a little bit of a history lesson. Not that I'm a historian or a historical theologian, but I have done some research around the prosperity gospel. And a lot of people won't necessarily think that they believe in the prosperity gospel or that they think this way. But I think that there's a huge similarity between a prosperity mindset and a very modern mindset. So 1947, a pastor, Oral Roberts, he kind of started talking about this prosperity gospel and that as Christians, we can make this blessing pact. And it was very much to do with televangelism. And that's, you know, where you phone into a number, and if you donate money to this cause, like, God will bless you. And when I look at this prosperity mindset, that, you know, if you do this, then God will bless you, or if you sin, then you will see like pain and suffering in your life. Like, for me, when I look at the Word of God, I just don't see any of that in Scripture. What I see is that suffering is a part of our faith journey, that suffering produces character in us. I see that Jesus suffered, and the hope was that he rose again. So it wasn't like suffering was forever, that there was hope. But, you know, when I look at what the gospel says, I believe that suffering is just a very crucial part of our maturity in Christ. And so we need to change our mindset and be very aware that our modern culture teaches us that we want our best life now. We want, if you can dream it, you can do it. You know, you can, it's very much in line with this pop psychology. And so we need to be so aware of our thinking, and is our thinking really in line with Scripture? Because what happens if we think this way is that when suffering comes our way, and I used to think this way until I really had my faith tested, I thought that, you know, if you have enough faith, then things will go your way. And then I couldn't reconcile why things didn't go my way, because I put everything on the line for God. And so I've just realized that part of my maturing process is realizing that suffering is just an essential part of me growing up. The same way my kids have to have boundaries, they have to fall and bump their heads a few times when they're learning to crawl and walk. They need to do hard things so that they can grow into adults that can actually withstand hardship. And and it's good for them. And as much as it's unpleasant as a parent to observe them struggling, I know that it's the very best thing for them. So we're going to just unpack that and unpack what the word says. There's lots of scriptures about suffering. And so I think it's so important for us as we just wrap up this theme to just reinforce what the Bible says about this and make sure that our theology around suffering and around hope and around God's role in our suffering, that is sound, so that we're not shaken when things are hard. We're not surprised when things are hard. So don't go anywhere. We're going to chat about this in a sec. Homeward by Benjamin William Hastings. Such a lovely song. So I want to read from 1 Peter 1 from verse 3. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is by His great mercy that we have been born again, because God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Now we live with great expectation, and we have a priceless inheritance, an inheritance that is kept in heaven for you, pure and undefiled, beyond the reach of change and decay. And through your faith, God is protecting you by His power until you receive the salvation, which is ready to be revealed on the last day for all to see. From verse 6, so be truly glad. There's wonderful joy ahead, even though you must endure many trials for a little while. These trials will show you that your faith is genuine. It is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold, though your faith is far more precious than mere gold. So when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world. You love Him even though you have never seen Him. Though you do not see Him now, you trust Him and you rejoice with a glorious, inexpressible joy. The reward for trusting Him will be the salvation of your souls. And it's such a beautiful passage of scripture. And I just want to kind of highlight that. It says, these trials will show you that your faith is genuine. It is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold. And so, you know, we often don't understand why we have to go through hard things. But again, like I said, with kids, they have to fall a few times and bump their head a few times when they're learning to walk. And so there's this element of needing to go through hard things to really learn how to do something well. And I want to read you this, just a little portion of this book that I've been reading. It's called He Speaks in the Silence, and it's written by a lady, Diane Comer. I don't know if you know John Mark Comer. He's quite a well-known author and preacher, but this is his mom. And so she basically, after having four kids when she was very young, she started going deaf. And now, I mean, within a few years, she lost complete hearing. And it was just the story of how she, you know, she had been a good Christian girl and she had done everything right. And so when she had gone through this very incredible suffering and really believed that God would heal her, but He didn't, she had to really come to grips with her faith and does she really believe in God? And so she wrote this book called He Speaks in the Silence. And so she quoted A.W. Tozer, who says that He waits. So this is God. God waits to be wanted. He waits until we want to hear from Him more than we want to communicate with anyone else, more even than our own people. Then He invites us into a ancient, sacred grove of tiring quiet and gives us gifts far greater, treasures in the darkness, wisdom singing, joy and purpose. And it's just so true that so often when we go through really hard things, it's then that we cry to God and when we really need Him, and that's where our relationship with God is built. So we're gonna chat more about that and go through some more scripture. That was Freedom by Kingdom Music featuring Tondi Rams. So I want to just tell a little story this happened many years ago, and I was at some event, and there's a lady, Lynn Swart. I don't know if you know her, but she's an incredible worshiper and minister, and she had come from overseas, from the UK, and she, you know, she was going to start this evening, this ministry evening, and she opened her guitar case It was the first time after getting back from the airport, and the guitar was snapped in half. The neck of the guitar was snapped from the bigger part of the guitar. And it was just such a crazy situation because, you know, that was actually quite an impossible thing to happen within a guitar case. And it was just this most amazing evening because, you know, in that moment she realized that she had been given this this picture or painting of a broken guitar that hung above a bed, and with the words that from brokenness comes true worship. Out of brokenness comes true worship. And that night was just such an incredible night of ministry, because I think what we all just realized that, you know, this broken guitar was this example of how when we are broken, when we have nothing left to give, that true worship comes. It's when we realize that our lives are nothing without God, when we realize that we are mere humans and God is God and we need him, that we truly worship him for who he is. It's when we have everything and, you know, life goes our way, that we actually just don't need God. And I'm just realizing how important it is to not see our brokenness and our suffering as a bad thing. You know, obviously it's hard and some people go through really horrific things, but I'm realizing that God is most glorified when we're able to have faith, when we're able to worship him even when we are suffering. And so that just gives me such hope that we're able to just show a part of who God is and show his heart and really show what it is to have faith in God, because that is really the difference between us and the world. We're all going to go through suffering, whether we believe in God or not. But believing in God means that we have this hope, this extra hope and joy in our sufferings, because we know it's not for nothing. And so that is what we can show the world. So here's a quote from John Piper, and it says, "The suffering of the righteous is not a token of God's enmity, but of his love. It is not punishment of their sins, but a refinement of their righteousness. It is not a preparation for destruction, but a protection from destruction." Such a great quote. And so we are going to carry on this chat after 12. Isabel's going to be joining us. She is going to be having a show next week, Monday, and we're going to be chatting to her a little bit about her experience with going through hard times and what God has shown her. So don't go anywhere. Stay tuned for after 12. And we're going to carry on this chat as well about beauty and brokenness and how God uses our suffering and brokenness for his glory. So here is Everything That Has Breath by Jesus Culture featuring Brian and Katie Torwalt. Reason for This Season by Tandi Rams. Welcome back to Impact 103. I'm Charlene Saker. The show is Restoring Hope. And we've been speaking this morning about suffering with hope, or we've actually been speaking this whole month about this, and just that there's beauty in our brokenness. And so today we've got a really special guest with me. Her name is Isabel, and she's part of the Impact family. And so Isabel's just going to share a bit about what God has shown her and just scriptures that are on her heart. Welcome, Isabel.
Hi, Charlene. Thank you for having me here.
Yeah, such a pleasure to have you here in studio with us.
Yes, I've been seeing you around the office here since November last year.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's such a pleasure.
Yeah, Isabel's new. She deals with our accounts, but she's also going to be doing a show next week, Monday, which is really exciting. Mm. How are you feeling?
I'm feeling a bit scared, though, I think.
Yeah. You know, it's when I started at Impact, I was very, very, very nervous. My first news bulletin, my mouth completely dried up. But I think what's so great about this Impact family is everyone's so encouraging. And, you know, it feels like a family and a community. So, yeah.
It really does.
So tell us a little bit about yourself, because obviously people don't know you yet. Yeah. You're a new voice. But tell us just quickly, who are you? Who's Isabel?
Yes. So I'm like you said, I've been working here since last year, November.
Mm.
And so I'm married to an awesome husband. We've been married for 26 years now already.
Wow.
And we've got three very handsome sons.
Mm.
Yeah. So,
lots of boys in the house.
Yes. Well, luckily two of them are already married and out of house. Okay. It's only the last one. He's in university now, for second year.
Okay.
So we're almost there.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, almost empty nest.
Yes.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So I was going to ask you to just share something that's on your heart. And, you know, we've been talking about going through hard times, but sometimes it's like a scripture that we hold on to that really is so meaningful for us. So
yes.
I know you've got something there. Why don't you share with us the scripture that's been meaningful to you?
Yes, I thought of this one time in my life. It's about 10 years back. It wasn't 2014 already, that I really felt I fell sick.
Yes.
And I went for all the tests you can think of, and they just couldn't find what was wrong with me. So, and I could literally feel how I was dying. It was really that bad.
Sure.
I lost like 10 kilograms in 2 weeks' time. So, and wow. It was really just devastating. I could really feel how life is draining out of me.
Yeah.
And then in this journey, I mean, I've prayed, I did everything, but then the Lord gave me this one scripture. There's a few scriptures He gave me, but I think these two that I'm going to share today is really the one that, not in that time only, but so many times afterwards, whenever I experience something, that I really just call on the Lord.
Yes.
So this specific scripture is Isaiah 41 verse 10.
Yes.
And it says, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God.
Yeah.
I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand."
Sure.
And I can still remember the one morning I was walking there in the, you know, I took a walk outside and I felt like I'm going to collapse. I'm so weak.
Mm.
And I could just feel how the Holy Spirit encouraged me. You know, that was like a spur of the moment thing.
Mm.
And I just said, "But Lord, you said that you will help me. You said," and I quoted this verse aloud to the Lord. And I said, "Yes, you said, yes, you will help me. Lord, help me."
Yeah.
And that was really a turning point for me. Just the Lord, I could gradually feel how I was getting better and better and better.
Yeah.
But this, and then the other one also, but this really was that, you know, that moment of faith that the Lord just strengthens you.
Yes.
It was this one that I just quoted back to Him.
Yeah, that's so beautiful. Mm. Just tell us again, it's Isaiah.
Isaiah 41 verse 10.
Okay.
Yeah.
Isaiah 41 verse 10. Wow, that is just amazing. And I realize that in a lot of the hard times that I've gone through, I've got a scripture that specifically stood out in that time, and how God's word really is this like lifeline we can hold on to. We're going to carry on chatting with Isabel in a moment. Please don't go anywhere. Isabel has got some real wisdom to share here from her experiences. So we're joined here by Isabel, who's a new part of our Impact family. And she was just sharing some scriptures that have carried her through hard times. And the first one is Isaiah, it was 41.
Verse 10,
which is a really beautiful scripture. So there's another one there that you want to share, and I'd love to hear it.
Yeah, I'm going to share that one. I just want to say, you know, with that previous scripture, that morning I was walking around and I was like, "Lord, but will you help me? Will you help me? Why aren't you helping me?"
Mm.
You know, and when I spoke that scripture back to Him, it is like, "Yes, I will help you." You know, so it was just such a certain thing that the Lord, He's going to help me. So from that point onwards, it really made a turn. Mm. But the other scripture that also really pulled me through, like at one stage I was so weak, I couldn't even get out of bed.
Yeah.
I would lay next to on the bed and then just put my hand on the Bible.
Yeah.
And then the Lord gave me this verse in Psalms 116 verse 7, where it says, "Return to your rest, O my soul, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you." So I would literally lay there, and I could, it was like something that's creeping up on the inside of me, and I could feel it coming from my feet upwards, you know, to my heart, to my whole body, overtaking, you know, taking hold of me. And then I would just say, I would keep on repeating this, "Return to your rest, O my soul."
Mm.
It's literally all that I had the strength to do,
yeah.
was to say, return to your rest, oh my soul. And then I could literally feel how that thing is leaving my body again.
Yeah, yeah. That's amazing. It reminds me of that be still and know that I'm God. It's like, it's not a, you know, I've read in some translations, it's not like a literal just like be quiet, even though sometimes that's how it looks, but it's actually an act of quietening your soul, finding rest in who God is, and not worrying about things that are not in your control. It's like, it's actually just finding that rest in God.
For me, it is specifically to find rest in the finished work of Jesus.
Yes.
Because beautiful. He said he paid for everything.
Yeah.
He paid for us not to be sick.
Yeah.
You know, so in the rest that I am right with God, Jesus paid all my sin debts.
Yeah.
God is not angry with me.
Yes.
He loves me.
Yeah.
And he's already done the work. The work is finished.
Yeah.
So for me, it was reminding myself of that thing that I am right with God.
Yeah.
And then just say, return to your rest, oh my soul.
Yeah, that's so beautiful. And it ties in with what we were talking about in the first hour, because, you know, this prosperity gospel that tells you that you have to have enough faith or do the right thing so God will bless you, or, you know, suffering or pain is a result of sin in your life. And that is just not biblical. Mm-mm. That's not God's heart for us.
Mm-mm.
You know, sometimes we go through hard things and it grows faith and character in us, and it draws us closer to him. But that constant like unrest in our souls is because we're trying to get into God's good books. You know, we're trying to, if we do enough, then we'll be fine. But that's not actually what God wants from us. We can actually rest.
Yeah, it's not true at all.
Yeah.
But the devil is so cunning. If he can trick us into thinking that God is angry at us, or that we did something wrong and that's the reason why this is now happening, then it's like basically opening a door for him, you know. But if we know the scripture of God and we know that Jesus came, he paid the price, we are right with God. And that's why I love the verse of Romans 5:17. I'm sure that the hearers are going to hear a lot about it in the future. But it says there that if we believe in our hearts that we are right with God, and we confess that with our mouth, we will reign in this life.
Yeah, beautiful. I love Romans. Romans, you know, after school, when I for the first time really got into like the word and it started coming alive to me, not just, you know, growing up in church and just believing it because I had to. And Romans, especially Romans 8, was just the thing that grounded me, and I could feel how it just was like food for my soul. So would you mind just reading those two scriptures one last time for us, if anyone is just tuning in? Because I think those are just great scriptures for all of us to just go back to and keep just reminding our hearts and our minds.
Yeah, sure. The first one is Isaiah 41 verse 10, and it says, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." And the second scripture is Psalm 116 verse 7 that says, "Return to your rest, O my soul, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you."
Beautiful. Thank you so much, Isabel. We're so looking forward to hearing your voice here. And I can see that you do spend a lot of time in scripture and that it's just such a deep, authentic thing for you. And so, we can do with just more going back to scripture and really just saturating ourselves in God's word. Thank you, Isabel.
Thanks so much for having me. Yeah. See you next week.
Yes, next week. Yeah.
Yes.
And I get to go just after you.
Yes.
No pressure. Hey.
Yeah.
So we are going to listen to Faithfully Now by Toby Mac. And then I'm going to finish up our conversation about suffering with hope as we wrap up this theme for the month. Heartbeats by Natural State. So we're going to just start wrapping up this conversation around suffering with hope. And just to quickly recap, we had Isabel with us a moment ago. But before that, we were just talking about how we in this modern world have a very prosperity view of suffering and of hardships. And we believe that, or we tend to believe that, if we are going through hard things, it's because of a lack of faith or sin in our lives. And I don't see that anywhere in the Bible. What I do see is examples of, you know, Jesus dying for our sins, and you know, there was real suffering involved there, but then there was hope in the end. And I look at Paul's life and how he speaks about considering it pure joy when we go through suffering. And so we want to have a right view of suffering, and we really want to see that it is good for us. And it is hard to see that when we're going through hard things. And it's also sometimes hard to just make sense of why we go through hard things. And one of the most important things that I've heard recently is that we need to be careful about trying to make sense of people's hardships by giving them our experiential advice. In other words, we've been through something and this is what God showed us, so this must be true for this person, or this is our worldview, and so that must be true for that person. And so we often come to very, you know, hard conclusions about how things work, and it's just not often the truth. It is our interpretation of the Word of God. And so in order to really, really understand what God is doing in our lives, we need to be okay to really discover what He is doing and what He is saying. And so I believe that our suffering draws us closer to God and gives us a greater understanding of who He really is. Not who we think He should be, you know, but who He really is. And so we're going to talk about that more tomorrow, the mystery of God and you know, just how we can be okay with the in-between, the unanswered questions. And so we're gonna chat about that tomorrow. But we're going to just wrap up this conversation in a moment. Here is Believe by Celebrate Africa. So I want to read this quote from John Piper. It says, "Whatever our lot, we can say it is well. Hardship melts into worship when we realize that God is always for us." I love that. That's so beautiful. Hardship melts into worship when we realize that God is always for us. And, you know, I think about a few of the hard things that I've gone through. I've spoken a few weeks ago about our journey. We wanted to immigrate overseas and we were literally 2 weeks away from flying. And then, you know, and it was to join a church plant. So we were like, you know, we felt like it will go our way because we're doing this for God. And then COVID hits and we lost everything. And there were a few months of just being very angry with God because I felt like, you know, I'd put everything on the line for Him and He didn't come through for us. And I realized in retrospect that that was just an immature view of who God is, because there's certain things that are just out of our control. And COVID affected so many people. It's not just about us. And that was one of the most helpful pieces of advice I got in that time was someone who said, you know, like, sometimes things just happen because they can. And COVID didn't happen like to me. It wasn't like the devil attacking me and my husband specifically. There were a lot of people who got caught in a very tough time over COVID. And so sometimes we really make it quite a personal thing. You know, this is happening because I have not done this, or God is this way. And what I'm just realizing as I've gone through this is that what these situations do ultimately is draw us closer to God and get us to understand more of who He is. Because after a few months, I also just had this realization that actually God grieved with us and He cried with us and He went through it with us. He wasn't distant. It was just that we needed to be aware of His presence in that time. And so God is there whether you are aware of it or not. And so we can choose to worship Him and to see His hand in our lives. And because it's there, whether we want to acknowledge it or not. And so I just want to end off by reading this passage from this book. So I was talking about this book called He Speaks in the Silence by Diane Comer, and her journey of just redefining her relationship with God after losing her hearing. And so she says, that this is what I know now that I wish I had known all those years ago, that faith, real life-changing, world-impacting faith, has nearly nothing to do with turning my suffering into a sales pitch to get people to sign on the dotted line of evangelical Christianity, nor is it about following the rules and thus becoming a beacon for goodness in God's marketing campaign. Real faith, the kind that redeems me that I am, the kind my own people can touch and see and grab hold of, happens when I believe, when I honestly know that God is good in the midst of my suffering and has a purpose for me even in my brokenness. My own faith failed, not when I questioned God's power to heal me, but when I doubted his goodness at the deepest level because he chose not to heal me. I've been humbled, deepened, chastised, and charmed by his bringing me close to whisper sweet wisdom into my broken ears. Such incredible, beautiful writing, and it's just such a reminder that there is no formula to having a good life. There's sometimes just no sense to it, but we just trust in who God is, that he is unchanging, and that even in the toughest of times, he draws us close and he comforts us and he grows us and teaches us to be more like him. It is done by Planet Shakers. So we have run out of time to talk about this, but I'm going to be with you again tomorrow between 9:30 and 11, and we're going to carry on or kind of wrap up this whole conversation around suffering with hope. But I just wanted to read this beautiful quote by Charles Spurgeon, and it says that when you are so weak that you cannot do much more than cry, you coin diamonds with both your eyes. The sweetest prayers God ever hears are the groans and sighs of those who have no hope in anything but his love. And it is so true. It's that when we are kind of at our lowest and at our most broken, that we realize that all that we have is his love to hold on to. And I hope that doesn't make you feel worse about your situation, but it really just, it's such a hope that we have, because we know that even if we lose everything, you know, like Job, that we still have God, and we still know that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so I hope that you know, as you go through this year, you do not look at the hard times that you're going through as failures or as you know, God punishing you, because that's not God's heart for you, but that you would see his hand in growing you, drawing him closer to you, because that is ultimately what will, you know, what will actually be the best for our souls, is to be closer to him, become more like him, and it's that wisdom and that character, that deep character that brings real freedom in our lives. And so I trust you have a great day further. I am, like I said, going to be with you again tomorrow, but be again with you tomorrow between 9:30 and 11, and we're going to chat about the mystery of God and living with unanswered questions. And so here is Bernie Dimetz with a different perspective just before your news. That will be at 1. Have a great day further.